You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Western monarch butterflies have made their long annual journey to overwinter along the California coast. These majestic insects are the only known butterflies to make a two-way migration, moving south to avoid the winter cold before flying back north to breed. And for almost three decades, researchers and community volunteers have studied these winter habitats and tracked the number of butterflies they see. This year's count, however, is among the lowest on record, numbering less than 10,000 monarchs, compared to upwards of 200,000 monarchs in years prior. And this comes as the butterfly's population has seen a drastic decline for decades, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife is currently considering whether to offer monarchs protection under the Endangered Species Act. Joining us to talk about the recent count results is Isis Howard, a conservation biologist at the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Insight.
Thanks, Vicky. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, you joined us last time for the count about a year or two ago. But for those who are unfamiliar, what is the Xerces Society?
Yeah, so we're a international nonprofit focused on protecting invertebrates and their habitats. Our main focus areas are around protecting pollinators, protecting endangered species, and reducing pesticide use and harm. So we're named after a little blue butterfly that went extinct in the San Francisco sand dunes. I get a lot of questions about what does the name Xerces mean? And so this is our namesake. And really it captures the mission of our nonprofit organization. And we hope it serves as a reminder that there's still time, but also these invertebrates are precious and we don't want to lose them.
Yeah. And I think it's important to underscore that we're talking about Western monarchs. So what exactly are Western monarchs and where do they come from?
Totally. So there's two populations of migratory monarchs in North America, the Western and Eastern monarchs. The main difference between Western and Eastern monarch butterflies is their migration patterns, with the Western monarchs overwintering in California. The eastern monarchs typically overwinter in the oyamelfer forests of Mexico. So they're the same species, but the key distinction is their breeding and overwintering regions on which side of the Rocky Mountains they inhabit.
God, do all monarchs migrate?
No, actually, there's a few populations of resident monarchs or year-round breeding monarchs. However, I would like to say that monarchs evolved in North America as a migratory species. But what we're seeing in the last several decades are kind of upticks in these resident year-round breeding populations. We typically see them in places with warm winter climates, like the South California area or Florida, for example.
Hmm. When it comes to these monarch counts, I would imagine counting thousands or hundreds of thousands of monarchs is time-consuming, to say the least. How did this all begin?
Yeah, so it began with a series of road trips from monarch experts, including Mia Monroe, Dennis Frey, etc. And there was this handful of people who are dedicated to conserving monarch butterflies. And each year during the overwintering season, when monarchs are aggregated at special groves of trees, these folks would take a road trip down the coastline and count the number of butterflies and then summarize that in a population estimate. And then folks in Mexico started doing the same for the eastern monarch population. So here in the West, we've had the Western monarch count running since 1997. And over the years, it transformed from an annual road trip to a giant community science project, where now we have community scientists, everyday people who are interested in collecting data on monarchs, joining conservation professionals, and hundreds of us go out for a specific number of surveys during the overwintering season and look through binoculars at these sites and actually count the butterflies and submit some surveys. And then I do some data wizardry on the back end and come out with a population estimate.
Okay, so it's an estimate. And when does this usually take place, in the fall, early winter?
Yeah, so we're waiting for monarchs to cluster. This is the one time of year where we can really get a most accurate population count. So monarchs begin to cluster in October, and then they disperse by February. It's what they're doing right now. So the peak we've noticed happens in mid-November. And so when we're talking about this number of less than 10,000 butterflies counted at the sites, this represents the peak number of overwintering monarchs this season.
Yeah, when you see those clusters, I've seen pictures of them. I mean, it is very vibrant. I mean, we know what monarchs look like, but yeah, there could be, it feels like thousands or a thousand on one like tree overwintering. They all get really close, which makes sense because it's winter and it's cold. So, but I want to get to that count that y'all did in November, because it was among the lowest on record, just over 9,000 monarch butterflies. Did that come as a shock to someone like yourself, who's a conservation biologist?
Initially, yes, but the more it sunk in, the less shocking it was. So this was the second lowest count on record since 1997, with the lowest being a count of less than 2,000 monarchs in 2020. And what we know is that, you know, butterfly populations are naturally bouncy, just like many invertebrates. So their populations fluctuate pretty significantly from year to year, depending on different factors like the environment, rainfall, available resources. So some fluctuation was expected, but I think what initially shocked me was the amount of decline. So compared to last year's count in 2023, there were, you know, this was a decline of 96% to this year's count.
Wow.
So it went from 230,000 to 9,100 and something. So that was a really, really big drop. And I think what makes it concerning is that despite the natural bounciness of butterflies, we know that the population has declined by more than 95% in the last four decades. And so when species become this small, they become even more vulnerable to these natural fluctuations.
How are you putting this most recent decline into context then? Could this just be a one-off, or is this part of a larger trend?
It's part of a larger trend for sure. In 1997, when the Western monarch count began, that was the last year on record to have an estimate over 1 million butterflies. And as scientists, we expect the low millions. We assume that low millions would be a stable population in the West. So over the last few decades, we've had numbers bouncing around in the hundreds of thousands. But when we see really shocking low numbers, like in 2020 or this year, we tend to take a closer look to try to see what happened. And this is really difficult. It's really hard to pinpoint the exact factors that lead to sharp declines like this. But what we know is that there were record heat waves in July, so late summer, of this year in 2020, or of last year in 2024. It was the hottest July on record for the globe and the hottest month on record for a state like California. It also represented the 10th July in a row to have record high heat. And then we also know that the Western U.S. had experienced some drought, and drought, it significantly impacts monarch butterflies by reducing the availability of milkweed, their primary host plant for laying eggs, and nectar-producing flowers that fuel the migration. So this was similar to 2020 in that we had these summer and fall heat waves and drought, and that, we think, greatly impacted the last few breeding generations of monarch butterflies, resulting in a low migratory population.
Going back to the last time that there was such a low count at 2,000 monarch butterflies, how much does a single monarch breed? I would imagine if one year it's only around 2,000 that you were counting compared to 200,000, you know, in other recent years, it'd be hard to rebound and kind of get back up to, you know, the six figures.
Definitely. There's still questions about this, and hypotheses are floating around. But that said, monarchs can produce hundreds of eggs. So an adult female butterfly can lay hundreds of eggs on milkweed plants. They kind of take that strategy of creating lots and lots and lots of eggs, knowing that only a very few will survive.
Mm. When it comes to this latest count, where were the largest groups gathering along the California coast? And does it change from year to year?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a surprise for me, and I've been working in monarchs for about 5 years now, and what we saw this year was the largest overwintering presence in Santa Cruz County, and then overwintering site in the East Bay actually made the top five sites this year as well, which we haven't seen in a number of years. Now, if we take like a larger long-term view of things, Santa Cruz used to host the largest numbers at same sites, Natural Bridges and Lighthouse Field State Park. So for folks who have been doing this work for decades, they were a little surprised, but not entirely surprised by the numbers in Santa Cruz County. And I think it really rallied folks in Santa Cruz, Monterey, and the Bay Area to continue their efforts to protect their sites.
What are other popular overwintering sites in recent years in California, if outside of Santa Cruz and I guess the East Bay this go around?
Yeah, so typically we see the most butterflies in San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara County. And a few of the public sanctuaries down there in the Central Coast include the Pismo Monarch Butterfly Grove in San Luis Obispo, right on the beach. Awesome place to visit if anyone's interested in going to see this amazing phenomenon themselves. I'd recommend going in November. And then the Elwood Mesa Preserves down in Santa Barbara. There's a number of sites all around the Elwood area, and typically those host lots and lots of butterflies. But this year, less than 5 monarchs were observed in Elwood. So really, really shocking for the folks in San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara who are used to these really large clusters that, you know, would be 20,000, 30,000 in a single tree or two. And now they have reduced numbers there.
Yeah, in the single digits. I know that your count was in November, but we did have wildfires in Southern California, notably across the Los Angeles area. Do you think that this could have an impact on monarchs migrating? Because it's happening just before that time when they're going to take off.
Yeah, so there's a lot to learn about the impacts of fire and smoke with monarch butterflies and their migration. What we do know so far is that some of the fires did, you know, affect areas close to overwintering sites. So there's an overwintering site in the lower Topanga Canyon that was impacted by these fires. Luckily, I think there were only like 8 butterflies reported at that site this season. So I think there would be more severe impacts if these sites were full of butterflies. So I guess a silver lining of the low numbers is that there were few butterflies to be impacted in LA by these fires. That said, you know, in the future years, it'll be interesting to see how well utilized these sites are. And then in terms of migration, there's a lot of research that needs to be conducted on the impacts of smoke. We know smoke impacts other invertebrates, so I would assume there's some impact, but I can't quite describe what that is right now. It's a little bit of a mystery at the moment.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Isis Howard with the Xerces Society about this year's monarch butterfly count, which is among the lowest on record. This also comes at a time when there are proposals to add monarchs as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. This comes from the feds, the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife. What would that mean for the monarch population?
Yeah, so I think, well, first off, when people think of a species being listed under the Endangered Species Act, they go straight to endangered species. So monarchs have been proposed as a threatened species, meaning that they're likely to become endangered in the foreseeable future throughout a significant portion of its range, whereas an endangered species would be in danger of extinction currently throughout all of a significant portion of its range. So yeah, monarchs have been proposed for listing as a threatened species, and what we know, too, is that the Endangered Species Act is one of the best tools we have for preventing extinction, and it can save monarch butterflies. An ESA listing leads to nationwide legal protections and resources for proactive conservation work that wouldn't otherwise happen. The ESA has successfully saved many species from the brink, like the Fender's blue butterfly, the whooping cranes, condors, and bald eagles. So we have hopes that a listing under the ESA, if it moves forward, would help monarch butterflies recover as well. And so there's a few different things that would impact, but largely people would still be able to farm, ranch, garden without major disruptions. It just allows the Fish and Wildlife Service flexibility to create regulations that work for the public, agriculture, landowners, and monarch butterflies. Mm.
And is this just for the Western monarch or just monarch butterflies in general?
Monarch butterflies in general. Yeah. And so I think that's important. Like the Western monarchs have declined really significantly compared to other populations, but the Eastern monarchs have also declined by more than 80% in the last three decades.
Hmm. Given that you work in conservation, and this touches upon the ESA as well, if it were to move forward, I guess first, when could that actually become a reality? I know it's still in the works. It's still unknown, but could that happen sometime this year?
So not this year, but right now what people can do to take, to play a role in this process is submit a public comment. So right now through March, the Fish and Wildlife Agency is collecting public comment on the proposed listing. So if you are a stakeholder who may be impacted by a proposed rule, I encourage you to check out the proposed listing, read it through, and then provide comments. Even if you support the rule, that comment is really helpful too. So Xerces Society has put out a letter of support that folks can sign their names onto to join us in supporting strong regulations and protections for monarch butterflies.
Yeah. Well, finally, you work in conservation. You could give some advice if someone's listening to this and they want to take some actions individually. What can they do?
Yeah, so there's a number of ways to play a part, and I will say that we need everyone to join in to help monarchs recover. Monarchs are really special because they span a really large geographic area, so folks in Canada, United States, and Mexico can all play a role in helping this species bounce back. And things you can do include establishing native milkweed habitat, so just Google, is milkweed native to my region? And if so, which species? And then you can check out a native plant nursery near you and plant some either in your yard or balcony pots, community gardens, at schools, etc. Or if you don't have a green thumb, you can participate in a community science project like the Western Monarch Count if you live along the coast of California, or you could participate in something a little easier and more simple like the Western Monarch Milkweed Mapper, where we ask you to just snap a photo using your phone of any monarch or milkweed that you find and then submit that to our project on the iNaturalist app.
Isis, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Isis Howard is a conservation biologist with the Xerces Society, and we've been talking about this year's monarch butterfly population count along the California coast, which is among the lowest on record. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.